Christmas is here, around the corner. The year is on its back. Maybe exercise today. What do you think of? What happens to you when you hear these words? Everyone doesn't like Christmas. You're alone on Christmas, perhaps. Maybe the opposite is true. You love Christmas and you can't wait for it to start. You think about children, the excitement about gifts. They can't wait for the gifts they'll receive. Maybe in parents' minds, anxious about this gift. You might be thinking about holidays, families, those you haven't seen in a long time and can't wait to see them. Maybe it brings you the opposite. You know it's coming. Maybe it makes you less excited. The personalities around the table. Christmas is coming. And it may be your first Christmas without someone. You experience loss. Maybe it's the first Christmas with an addition to your family or relatives. And the biggest, perhaps, the awareness of what the Lord came to do for us with his birth in Bethlehem. In our house, we celebrate Jesus' birthday on Christmas Day. We have five big celebrations each year, five birthdays. There are so many scenarios that could be mentioned today. What is it for you? There were no fewer situations and different feelings and characters in the first Christmas. And we follow Luke's version this way throughout our Advent time when we count down to Christmas Day. He starts with an old man and his wife, who in their own way experience loss in their lifetime. He moves to a teenage girl who had other dreams and plans for a life. And in one moment, everything changes. He talks about people who sleep in the fields together with their animals and are considered unclean. Then he moves to men from abroad, strangers. All part of the first Christmas story. What does he want to tell us? Well, Christmas comes to everyone. And so Christmas comes to you today, to me. It starts like this. Many have undertaken to draw up an account of things that have been fulfilled among us, just as they were handed down to us by those who from the first were eyewitnesses and servants of the word. With this in mind, since I myself have carefully investigated everything from the beginning, I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the certainty of the things you have been taught. Luke, who was said to be a medical doctor, examined it thoroughly and said, "The sequence looks like this. There was an old man and his wife who lived in or near Jerusalem. They were childless and prayed for a child. Their names, Zechariah and Elizabeth. The old man was a priest at the temple and his wife probably working in and around the house, maybe his boss in a way. There were thousands of people working at the temple. In Zechariah's time, maybe 18,000 to 20,000 priests. And one day he was chosen by lot, according to custom of the priesthood, to go into the temple of the Lord and burn incense. A normal but not so normal day at the office. While he's making the offering, the angel appears to him with the message, 'Christmas is near.' But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear a son, and you are to call him John. Zechariah asked the angel, how can I be sure of this? I am an old man, and my wife is well along in years. Very sensitive about calling his wife old. The angel says, Zechariah, the Lord has heard you. He notices you. Zechariah is unsure. It's too good to be true. And the angel says, we can't preach the good news like that. You are going to be quiet until this specific time. And so it was. Zechariah comes out and people see he can't speak. He must have seen an angel. Others say he's so scared he looks like an angel. Maybe one told the other, go see what was that. No way, dude, I'm not going in there. True story. The angel moves on from well along in years to a teenage girl, possibly 13, 14 years old, at the start of her life, planning an engagement and marriage, many dreams and plans that she and possibly her parents may have had for her. Then the first Christmas becomes part of her life. Her name was, without me mentioning her name, Mary goes through the world, through generations and decades. One of the most famous names in the world. The angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. How will this be? Mary asked the angel, since I am a virgin. How is such a thing possible? I don't have a husband. I never had children. I'm just done with playing around with my friends. My own words, as you can hear, a lot of things happening around Mary's life as a teenager. You are going to have a son, and this son is going to be the Savior of the whole world. He's the Son of God, and God is giving you grace, Mary, to be part of the greatest single event that will ever be. And Mary says, do with me as you will, despite what my father is going to say about this. The angel visits the shepherds in the field and gives them the same message. Do not be afraid. Here is good news. They are outcast, insignificant people. The door opens to them. Foreigners, who according to time are far away from God's grace. They see a star and hear there's a king to be born and so become part of the first Christmas. What does Luke tell us with the thorough story of Christmas that's near? Three things. Christmas comes for everyone. Life works with each of us differently. We find ourselves in different places, physically, but also emotionally, in relationships, with ourselves, with others, and with the Lord. But God comes to us in that place and brings the birth of our Savior to us again, and for others, where they are, and what they are doing, without singling out anyone. John speaks about the coming of Jesus in a different way. In the beginning, the Word was there, and the Word became flesh and moved into our neighborhood. And then in John 3:16, he says, for God so loved the world that he gave this one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. No one excluded, from this message. In Luke 19, Luke wrote, "For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." God came to us, every one of us. God comes for everyone. Think of Israel and Hamas for a second. Who did he come for? For everyone. And that's the good news of Christmas. Then Christmas comes for me. Christmas comes for you. It's personal. God sees the individual. Wherever you are, in whatever place you may be, he sees you and comes for you. His love seeks you. Accept it. Experience it. Respond to it. To love God or to love God back, it's not an action. It's a reaction. I respond to the God who loved me first. I respond to him looking for me. I respond to him calling me. If we look at the two scriptures of Mary and Zechariah, the angel came to Mary and said, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High." In Zechariah's space and time, the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to call him John." You are part of this Christmas story, wherever you are. If you were the only person on earth, Jesus would have come. There would be a first Christmas especially for you. And there was. God notices you, and your life matters to him. There is a Christmas because you are here. But also Christmas comes through me. "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May your word to me be fulfilled." Then the angel left her. In Zechariah's story, all the neighbors were filled with awe. And throughout the hill country of Judea, people were talking about all these things. Everyone who heard this wondered about it, asking, "What then is this child going to be?" For the Lord's hand was with him. Christmas is near, and we can't keep it to ourselves. It's for us, but also bigger than us. Christine Kane says, "God has chosen you for this time. He has called you and created you to fulfill a unique purpose in this generation. While none of us have the ability or capacity to do all that God's called us to do on our own, with God, we can do so much. When we give him our little, when we invite him into our lives to do what only he can do, he helps us move forward into all the purposes he has planned for us. God has a plan and purpose for you in this specific time and season. Don't look back longing for old seasons. Focus on where you are and where he's taking you. Give it all you've got and trust God with the rest." How can Christmas come through you? For the world around you. How can you be part of the good news of Jesus Christ for this season? Maybe in the physical, to give a gift or to be a gift for someone who needs you this Christmas and the good news that comes with it. How can you be part of the story anew? Maybe it's to pray with someone. When there are prayers like Zechariah, Elizabeth, and Mary's. Maybe it's just to be there. To be with them in a Christmas space where they need someone. But we cannot miss the biggest invitation of our life. The invitation that says we are partakers of what God is doing in this world. We recently packed Christmas packages together, deliberately making a decision to make a difference, to be aware. Maybe to be aware that there's a person who works with me. She's alone this Christmas. He's alone this Christmas. Maybe the awareness that asks me, how does it look around my Christmas table? My family. Stories to share of gratitude. Deliberately making space and time and things to make us aware of Christ that comes back to Christmas. Christmas is near. And you and I are part of this story. How can we embrace it? How can we take it on as our own and share it with a world that needs it desperately? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we come today, we praise you for giving us the gift of Christmas, giving us the gift of your own Son. To have him as our Savior, but also to share him as the Savior of the world. May we be aware of this invitation to partake in what you are doing. And may we experience Christmas anew for us as individuals, but also for a lost world that needs you desperately, that needs your love desperately. Awake us through your Spirit. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Receive the blessing. May the love, this unconditional, unexplainable love of God our Father, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the presence of the Holy Spirit be with you. Amen.